thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, oh, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the
But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night end times prophecy show. And we go forward. The show is 2 hours. The first hour is about focusing on Israel, the Middle East, and wars and rumors of wars. And the second hour is just anything that would be of importance to us today, kind of connected with prophecy. And I did get a late start, and I'm blessed that we got a start at all, because I was sound asleep. I was in the living room on the reclining chair there, sound asleep, my dog on my lap, and my son told me the time. So I called Dave right away, because we were going to talk about the show tonight, and we really didn't even have time to talk. It was that close to starting the show. And then it turned out that my computer was frozen. I had it on all day, and when I went to, it wouldn't respond, so I had to reboot. And here I am, a little late, but better late than never. Hello, Brother Dave.
Well, shalom and maranatha, John. I'm glad you woke up. Thank God. Very good.
Yeah. It's, now my three boys are here. I think it was Jesse. I think it was Jesse that woke me up. So are we ready for a big show tonight with all sorts of information?
A lot going on, John.
Let's get over here. I read 1 Thessalonians Chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, and we got you set up for 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen. That's 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 58. That's another series of scriptures about the rapture. And you put those two series together, and we have the main doctrine there about the rapture doctrine. However, there are many other section of scriptures which tie into that. So, Dave, the rapture. What do you think?
Amen.
Even so,
coming soon, John.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to. We're getting squeezed on time. The rapture is also known as the blessed hope. And that's found in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So looking for him, coming for us, is called the blessed hope, Dave. The blessed hope. All right. Now let's get into what did you pick up? We didn't even get a chance to talk today, Dave, about events. But what did you pick up that you want to talk about, especially the Middle East?
Sure. Two things, John, specifically that kind of stand out. Israel is getting frustrated with Hamas and the hostage deal, and they turned off the electric to Gaza. Now, from what I understand, there's only one line left going to Gaza, and that's going to a desalinization plant, which takes water from the Mediterranean and takes the salt out and makes it drinkable. So now that's shut off. And also, I think it was quite a few days ago, Israel suspended all aid coming into Gaza. And the other thing, in Syria, the Alawites, which is a sect, I guess, on the border, the western border, there was a massacre. Some places say that it was 1,000 people massacred. Other people say 2,000. But I think it was I think it's a little confusing. I think it's government forces attacking pro-Assad forces, but they were killing men, women, and children. They had videos that kind of blocked it out a little bit, but people just slain all over the streets, men, women, children. The world's going crazy, John. The world's going crazy.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dave. And I had, I'm going to say, predicted that. When this group took over, their initials are H something. Let me see if I can get their initials. I can't think of their initials. Because they're terrorists. They are hardcore Sunni terrorists. And here's the thing. Assad, who ruled the country, he was a Alawite. That was his, it's beliefs. It's a belief. Alawite. They're like a spinoff from Shiites. He's an Alawite. So that's why he was friendly with Iran, because they were both kind of, the same Islamic sect there. But his father in particular, then they had the civil war also. So no, Assad is, both of them were bad. But, his father, Bashar Assad, I think it was, he like wiped out a whole community of thousands, poison gassed them, killed them. And then they had that civil war there. And this Assad had, I don't know how many were killed. So what you're seeing, Dave, is revenge. This is revenge. The Alawites were a minority there, but they ruthlessly controlled country. So this is, I would expect much more of it, Dave. But apparently it was more than the Alawites that got killed. Apparently they killed Christians and they killed some other groups also for a total of about 1,000. About 1,000. Now I watched it, some videos about it, and it's pretty brutal, Dave. Did you see any videos of it?
Well, yeah, the videos, you saw one of the soldiers attacking people, but basically what he was doing was kind of like fogged out. But then you kind of saw bodies all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, pretty horrendous.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So this is revenge, Dave. And I, the same thing was bodies all over the place. And I could hear Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, you know, bodies laying on the ground, people slaughtered, and Allah Akbar go together. So that's what took place in Syria. Now, there, I knew that this was going to happen. And there are people, you know, Middle East analysts that said the same thing. And the Israelis said the same thing. The Israelis said it's just a matter of time. You know, like the Israeli, whoever I was listening to from Israel, said the same thing. It's only a matter of time before we've got mass killing in here, and they're going to be just like Hamas and Hezbollah. So Syria is warming up now, Dave, and it's only a matter of time until I believe the Syrians that are there now. And I can't just I want to get – I got it written down here, but I don't know which article it is. Anyways, it's just a matter of time before they link up with Turkey. And then Turkey is going to have that direct shot to Israel. There'll be no resistance. You know, Turkey and Syria border each other. So if Syria and Turkey get into a working relationship, then the Turkish army it's got to open highway right down from Turkey right down to Jerusalem. So what do you think of that, Dave?
Well, according to prophecy, that's going to be a big mistake, John. They're not going to make out very well. And Erdogan in the past basically is calling for the assassination of Netanyahu, talking about that they're committing genocide. They want to create a revived Ottoman Empire. And they want to liberate Jerusalem.
Yeah, here's the article I was looking for. Shocking images from Syria as Biden-supported Islamists massacre over 1,000 Alawites, Christians, and Druze. Quote, the worst fears over the safety of Syria's non-Islamic populations have come horribly true as the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, that's what they called, HTS, militia unleashed ethnic cleansing on non-Muslims. Well, that's not true. The Alawites are Muslims. Killing over 1,000 since Friday. The failed Obama-Biden regime had pushed for regime change and supported Islamist militia in Syria since 2011. And most recently, dropped 10 million bounty on the head of radical Islamist HTS leader Abdul Mohammed al-Jolani. So there you go, Dave. It's called HTS, or the initials for it, HTS. Okay, I think the big thing now, Dave, that's building here, and I've been following it this week pretty closely, is Israel on the verge of attacking Iran and destroying its nuclear facilities. Have you been following that, Dave?
Yes, John. And President Trump, just I think a day or so ago, sent a letter to the head of Iran and talking about the fact, gee, let's negotiate a little bit about your nuclear program. And the Ayatollah basically rejected it. And basically Trump mentioned that there could be military action. And John, we've been talking this about this for a long, long time. And they have to do something. The International Atomic Energy Agency basically now says they have enough enriched uranium to make 6 atomic bombs. And all they need is 1, but they'll have enough for 6. And they have a very, very, how can you say, lots of large missiles that they'll be able to use. So it's going to be coming any time now, John. And when that happens, I mean, the results are going to be catastrophic. Somehow, say Iran decides to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, which they can do easily, create problems with the oil supply, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and the whole world obviously will blame Israel. You know, I can't believe Israel did this. They created all this chaos. No, Iran created the chaos. And Russia right now has a very, very tight military alliance with Iran. And we don't know if Russia is going to do anything right away, but obviously Russia is going to be very upset at Israel. Well, quite a surprise, quite a surprise, you know?
Well, from following Trump, President Trump, it appears it's like very close, the things he's saying. You know, I don't know if he's saying it to put pressure on Iran or he's saying it because it's true. But I mean, the things that I'm hearing about Iran and they have enough uranium for 6 nuclear weapons and they're working on they're in conjunction with North Korea on these long range missiles. And it appears from listening to what Trump says, listening to what Israel says, I would be very surprised, Dave, if the attack did not take place this week.
That would be earth-shaking, John. Earth-shaking.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Then apparently it's going to be an all-out flattening of Iran. Now, we have given Israel the 2,000-pound bombs, which they desperately need. However, from everything I'm reading, those bombs are not sufficient to reach like the core of the Iranian nuclear program. They can do a lot of damage, but not the core of it. And only we can reach the core with the heavy bombers that we have. They can get gigantic bombs in it. So, Dave, this could be the week. I mean, I got that feeling, and Trump was talking about it in a matter of like, Any day, this could break loose in any moment, as he was saying, any moment. So he wrote a letter to the Iranians about, let's sit down and talk this over, and they refused. They refused. So as it sits right now, as we're talking, Dave, there is no alternative but for Israel to very soon, I mean like immediately, move to attack the entire, I would say, Dave, they'll want to flatten Iran so it can't function.
Well, John, it was probably, I don't know how many months ago, that when Assad fell, Israel took the opportunity to destroy Syrians' air defenses, and then also they also hit Iranian air defenses. So there's probably some left, but there's a clear path for Israel to go straight across Syria into Iran. And also, Israel has basically maintained a buffer zone, I think it was in the Golan Heights, into Syria, so that they can protect the border. And obviously, our friends in Israel are very familiar with the fact that the current government that took over from Assad, there was Islamic jihadists. I think the one guy was involved with ISIS. So it's not like, he puts on a suit and walks around and he changes his theology. That's not going to happen.
Right, exactly. Let me read an article that I have here, Dave. This is, the article is titled, Iran Issues Final warning to U.S. and Israel. Because Israel, I don't think Israel has said anything. It's mostly coming from the United States about attacking Iran. The government of Iran has issued a final warning to the United States and to Israel concerning the likely pending attack by those countries against Iran. The Iranian government said, quote, an attack on Iran is tantamount to the destruction of all U.S. bases in the region and the destruction of all Israeli nuclear facilities. This comes just days after President Donald Trump sent a letter to Ayatollah Khamenei seeking to engage Iran in nuclear negotiations. According to Trump, the letter made it clear that if Iran does not enter negotiations, it may get bombed. Iran rejected Trump's reported offer, saying Iran will not negotiate while it is being aggressively sanctioned and threatened by the United States. With today's final warning from Iran, the stakes are now crystal clear. Iran does have the missile capability to launch and smash U.S. bases throughout the entire Middle East region and to attack all of Israel, including its nuclear facilities at Dimona. Complicating this situation dramatically is that Iran is a military ally of Russia. Nothing about this situation is good. If the U.S. and Israel attack Iran's nuclear facilities, it seems clear that Iran will strike back. If when Iran strikes back, it appears at least on the surface, all hell is likely to break loose. This situation could literally explode onto the world without any warning within days. Okay, Dave, that's the article there. So just reading this article and other things and putting it all together, Israel is really, it looks like they're finished now with the hostages. Hamas is not, they played it out as long as they can. I think Israel has waited, Dave. This current wait is until they played out everything they could for the hostages. So now what's left is Israel's ready to go on Iran now. Any comments, Dave?
Well, John, exactly like you said, it's interesting. When I get a chance to give people my testimony, I tell them about the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And one specific thing that I tell them is that when they read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, it has an entire chapter in the book on Russia allied with Iran in an adversary relationship with Israel. The book was written 54 years ago. And obviously, Ezekiel, the War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39, was written an awful long time ago. And these are exciting times, John. And it's just one of the signs that the Lord is coming back soon. And to say this specific event, if and when it does happen, it should be sooner than later, is going to shake the whole planet because it's involved in the Middle East, the Persian Gulf. You know, the U.S. gets involved. Russia is going to get aggravated. It's really going to spin things out of control.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. To me, Israel is going to have to do everything, have to hit them with everything they got. They can't just take this out and that out. They're going to have to take Iran, cripple it so that Iran can't breathe. It's got to be smashed so it can't function as a nation. Because if they function, that's all they know is terrorism, Dave. Yeah, Dave, you there?
Yeah, John, sure. Yeah, John, the other thing, too, the Houthis mentioned that if Israel does not lift the blockade of the aid coming in within the next, I think they said 3 or 4 days, they're going to start shooting missiles again at Israel, specifically disrupting maritime traffic in the Red Sea, which is more disruption, global disruption.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could have the disruption there, and you could have it in the Persian Gulf also.
Right.
Might spike oil to who knows what level. Okay, I have a lot of good articles, and well, I have another one here I picked up about Trump. Trump, we're down to the final moments with Iran. Quote, U.S. President Donald Trump hinted on Friday that the United States could take military action against the Iranian nuclear program very soon if the Islamic Republic does not strike a deal with the United States. Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, Trump said that there would be interesting days ahead with respect to Iran. We're down to the final strokes with Iran, Trump said, using a golf metaphor. We're down to the final moments. We're at final moments. Can't let them have a nuclear weapon. So he's not a bluffer, Dave. He speaks really from like strength. You know what I mean, Dave?
Exactly.
So this here, I got a feeling we may wake up Monday morning, and we've said that how many times, Dave? Sometimes it's happened. You know? All right. Added to that, Israel, U.S. conduct major joint military drill over the Mediterranean. And what that was our heavy B-52 bombers there were flying, and they were being refueled, and they were being protected by the Israeli Air Force. So the Israeli Air Force had a leg in this. You know, these planes are flying, they call them legs. And felt like the last leg would be maybe protecting them over Iran. This is interesting, too. It got a little bit, Dave, did you pick up from Israel where they raided one of the terrorist headquarters in Judea and Samaria, commonly called the West Bank?
And right, sure.
They found all the plans for a Hamas attack, the capture.
A major attack they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Even worse than October 7th.
Right, and they wanted to capture many Israeli citizens again, like Hamas did. So that was plans that they had to do, and apparently, you know, Israel got in the middle of it and blew it all up, which is very good. So they had, why not do it with the way they think? I mean, they see Hamas as highly successful. They got to butcher and kill all sorts of Jews, and then they got to capture. How many, Dave? Do you remember? Was it 1,000 they captured? Something like that?
Well, they killed 1,200, and I think they captured around 200 Israelis and, you know, brought them into Gaza.
Right, right. Well, they planned, they wanted to do the same thing in Judea and Samaria. And that's not to say they mightn't try it yet. You know what? They found the plans, and they were able to disrupt it as much as possible. But they definitely want to do what Hamas did, definitely. And I'm sure Hezbollah wants to do the same thing. Now, there was something here. Oh, Mike Huckabee. Now, Mike Huckabee, I don't think he has been appointed yet by Congress to be the ambassador to Israel. Have you heard? I don't think he has, Dave, yet. He's waiting to be appointed.
I think it's still in process right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's very interesting because he feels that he is exactly like us. Exactly. And I knew he was. But it was very good to see this article, and the quotes that he was quoted with were incredible. I mean, well, here it is. In a recent podcast interview, he shared that he felt an overwhelming spiritual reality of understanding that this is the land that God has given to the Jew. A Bible-believing Zionist Christian, Huckabee sees Israel as the foundation of his faith rooted in God's promises to the Jewish people. Huckabee viewed Israel not through a political lens, but a biblical one. His framework is anchored in God's covenantal promise to Abraham. Quote, "To your descendants have I given this land," Genesis 15:18. This land includes even the contested area the world calls the West Bank, a term Huckabee rejects in favor of the biblical names Judea and Samaria. His refusal to adopt the prevailing terminology signals a departure from conventional diplomacy, embracing a biblical narrative as the guiding principle for his ambassadorship. So what do you think, Dave? That's a nice ambassador for the United States to Israel, huh?
I would think so, John. Why don't we invite him to come on to the radio show, the podcast, next week?
Okay, I'll give you that as homework. Track him down.
Sounds good. I'm kidding, but we're on the same page.
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
So, but that'd yeah, nice. I mean, wow, what an ambassador. You talk about a perfect ambassador. There you go. I mean, he would, couldn't be any better. Could not be any better.
John, it sounds like he's a premillennial dispensational eschatologist specializing in epistemology.
Well, that sounds like you then.
That's right. But he's much smarter than me, John, which is good.
All right. Now, here is something that took place this week also. And God is really, folks, he's really raising up the believers here to stand with Israel. Because we just saw what happened with Huckabee. But, Dave, there was some sort of an event in Dallas last week. And I don't know what it was about. Broadcasted. That's what it was. Like the Christian show broadcasting. And they had a meeting there. While they had several meetings during the week. And one of them apparently is about Israel. So what they did, Dave, was they took up a petition. And they all signed it, or lots of them signed it, and they want Israel to gain control, to take over officially the West Bank. No two-state solution. They want Judea and Samaria to be officially incorporated into Israel. So here we go. Quote, U.S. evangelicals pressure Trump to let Israel take control of the West Bank. Evangelical Christians who voted for U.S. President Donald Trump are pressuring him to allow Israel to gain full control over the West Bank based on the covenant God made with the Jews, the New York Times reported on Saturday. The Times reported that prominent evangelical allies of Trump are campaigning by making appearances in Israel, petitioning the White House, and building support in Congress. I literally feel God is giving Israel a blank check, said Pastor Mario Bramnick, president of the Latino Coalition for Israel. He visited Jerusalem on Tuesday with others, key conservatives, evangelicals, to publicly advocate for Israel's seizure of Judea and Samaria. A group of Christian Zionists believe that Israel's sovereignty over the West Bank would foster other biblical promises, such as the apocalypse that brings about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Times reported. We Christians are calling on our beloved President Trump and his team to aggressively remove all barriers to Israel's sovereignty over the land, including Judea and Samaria. Terry Copeland Parsons, a pastor and president of Texas Bible College, said Thursday at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention from Dallas, Fort Worth suburbs. There you go, Dave. And with that, I expect to hear the drums beating now for the third temple.
Exactly. And John, if that does happen, which it looks like it's going to, Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone. The United Nations, the entire planet is talking about, oh, the solution is a two-state solution, which would basically separate the land, not give Israel full control over Judea and Samaria. So the entire world is going to go nuts if Israel does do that and annex Judea and Samaria. Because the whole world thinks, oh, that's the solution. Well, how can you have another neighboring state that when the Palestinians find out that they've killed a Jewish person, they give out candy? That doesn't work, John. It doesn't work.
Right. So well, that is coming to a head, Dave. That confrontation over the land, and I'm sitting here watching know the scriptures very closely for Obadiah and that final all-out battle, Obadiah 1:18, between the house of Jacob and the house of Esau, and none of the house of Esau are going to remain in the land. None are going to remain. That is the day the Lord is near. That battle is when we see that's our guideline, Brother Dave. That battle. It's like the way we see Hamas now and the way we see Hezbollah and this HT group and the others, Iran. That is going to be an overall all-out battle. It'll be over Jerusalem, and none of the house of Esau is going to remain on the land. That's it, Dave. That is the second coming of Jesus. This is the signal that the day of the Lord is near. So I keep focused on that, Dave. So Hamas is a perfect example, while none are going to remain on the land, Dave. Could you think of a better example why the house of Esau is going to be completely obliterated?
Yeah, when you look at the drone footage of what's happening in Gaza and realize that Israel, from what I understand, is mobilizing, the last I heard, 400,000 reservist troops to basically completely vaporize Gaza. You know, there's not much left to vaporize. But even just the fact that they just cut off electricity to the desalinization plant, and now, you know, they blockaded, the aid getting in. There's not going to be much left, John.
Right, right. And they show no signs. They're gonna follow this all the way. They're martyrs now. For everybody that killed is just a martyr to them for Allah. There's some activity here in Great Britain. Here's the headline. Your time is finished. British Jews prepare to leave. So the Muslims are rising up now in Great Britain, and they're telling the Jews in Great Britain, get out, get out. So the Jews are responding and saying, we kind of get that feeling. So they're seriously making provisions now to leave Great Britain. Now, it didn't say where, but it's got to be Israel. And I don't know whether the other European country they would go to, but they can feel it in Great Britain, Dave, especially London. I mean, London is, you might as well call it London Stand, Dave.
Yeah, the British made a big mistake with allowing so many Muslims to come in. I think there's certain, forgive me for laughing, certain areas in London and, you know, in the surrounding areas where they're trying to institute Sharia law, and it's not even safe to kind of walk around. So not a very happy thing.
Yeah, and they said that the young Muslims are really being radicalized in England now against the Jews. And it's apparently there's a whole online internet structure for this. Now, Dave, here's the interesting thing. If you go online and you say something hateful against Muslims, what happens, Dave, in Great Britain? In Great Britain?
Is it possible you get arrested? They're just not very happy about it.
Yes. Yeah. You get arrested for it. Oh, and it's headlines, a big deal. They go out and they arrest some 70-year-old man because he said horrible things about Mohammed and Islam, right? So now here, the article that I'm quoting from, I told you the title, quote, poll showing British Jews consider Islamists to be the most serious threat, and in a close second is the far left. They're the same route. The nation's young people are being indoctrinated against Jews. We are seeing young people who believe that they are doing a righteous thing by discriminating. They are becoming radicalized on the internet. They are imbibing bigotries that their parents themselves don't have. And then they are teaching this from one kid to another. So we've got a generation which is extremely hateful, not just hateful. They're extremists. Some non-Jews see the danger and are publicly supporting Britain's Jews. So, Dave, they have a whole network on the internet. A whole entire network of Jew hating. And yet, if one non-Jew or one non-Muslim goes on the internet and writes something against Mohammed, the police come and arrest. I watch it on the news. There'll be no hate speech allowed on the internet. What about this, Dave?
Very strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's you could see how what their agenda is. That they, I think, the European mentality now, because this European, they are way different than us, than Americans. It's so obvious, but they're using these Muslims to drive the Jews out of Britain. They want them out. You know, the aristocracy, the British aristocracy and the hard left in Britain and all, they want the Jews out. So what could be better than using radicalize the Muslims to do it? Yeah. So I think that this is organized, Dave, by the British government, because on one side, if you say one word against Mohammed and the Quran and all of that, you go to jail. On the other side, they've got an organized, whatever you call it, they have a huge organized on the internet group of Muslims that are planning to drive all the Jews out of Great Britain. And I haven't yet to hear one of them being arrested, Dave. I haven't heard of any being arrested, not one. Final comment on this thing.
Well, John, I guess the Muslims are just expressing their freedom of religion, because to point out that Jews are apes and pigs is what Muhammad taught them, and that they basically don't believe, you know, believe they should be on the planet. So they're just expressing their freedom of religion, John.
Yeah, but to allow, for the British government to allow this, it's obvious that they're going along with it, and they want them to organize with an intensity so that the Jews will be driven out of Great Britain. They want them out. They want them out, Dave.
They're not going to get blessed, John, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're heading for – I mean, look at already – they've got those. I mean, London, it's like a hellhole. It's incredible what they're doing in London and all over Europe. The Muslims are probably getting ready to move now in a big way. They'll have uprisings in the major cities and bring Europe to its knees. Dave, I don't know if we discussed this yet, but did you pick up how that group here, USAID, you know, the one that Doge identified with all the billions of dollars it was giving out all over the world for nonsensical causes.
Yeah, I saw that, John. And sad to say, if a stand-up comedian could come up with a bizarre rendition of what the U.S. government could spend our taxpayer dollars on, a stand-up comedian couldn't come up with something as stupid as and bizarre as what they were doing. The people that were in charge should be thrown in jail. They're financing transvestite plays in, you know, I don't know, South America. I mean, to say they're insane is being very, very kind, John. Insane.
Well, what it didn't get a lot of publicity, but it got some. This article is titled "How USAID Shipped Bags of $100 Bills to the Taliban."
I saw that.
The State Department responded to these revelations by falsely claiming there are no sanctions on Afghanistan, that banks refuse to carry out wire transfers because of the lack of profitability. This is the U.S. State Department. They're admitting to it. And that, to the best of our knowledge, no electronic financial delivery systems are currently scalable to meet the liquidity needs of the UN, requiring it to instead convert billions of dollars into paper notes and ship them by plane. Dave, the Taliban money laundering scheme was not yet an exception. It said how USAID, the State Department, and the UN have operated for too long, not only in Afghanistan, but in Syria, Yemen, Gaza, and many other terrorist areas around the world, using plausibility, deniability, and chains of organizations to avoid accountability and direct responsibility for aiding terrorists. Americans have become the financiers of their worst enemies. Oh, Dave, I mean, could Biden and his regime be any, how could they be any worse, Dave? You know, I guess they could be worse, but I mean, on one side, no wonder they left them with like billions of dollars worth of military equipment. And then they give them spending money, Dave. Oh my goodness. Oh, generals have to go to, they have to, generals have to be held to require responsible for this thing. The U.S. generals that went along with this, they have to be, this is aiding and abetting the enemy, Dave.
John, isn't it a crime to finance a terrorist organization?
Yes,
if you
yes.
do, you go to jail?
Yes.
So they don't follow the law?
No, they're above the law. But the generals that went along with this, Dave, especially this Milley guy, you mean we're doing all this and Milley has no knowledge that airplanes full of $100 bills are flying into Afghanistan and spreading around spending money for the Taliban? American money, cash. So not only that's gas money, Dave. That's gas money for all our tanks and other weapons that we left there. You know, that's gas money to fill them up and drive around in. Wow. But finally, thankfully, Lord, we had this terrible time. But now all of that's being cut off, Dave. I got to be thankful to the Lord that it was a terrible blight on the nation, but now it's being corrected, Dave, in the right way. Any comments, Dave?
Yeah. John, just hold one second. Having a problem with our little chihuahua. Hold on.
Okay. All right. So there we are, folks. A pretty interesting week. Developments. On one side, God's people here in America in particular are rising up supporting Israel. We've got an ambassador ready to go. He couldn't be any better support for Israel. Trump has done a 180, well, not exactly a 180, but his support, President Trump's support for Israel is like 180 degrees off from Ukraine. He sees Ukraine. We've been saying this for years, folks, about the Ukraine. It's the government of the Ukraine is totally corrupt. They've taken hundreds of billions of dollars of our money, and they've laundered it. The Ukrainian government, with our corrupt officials, the war is totally corrupt. Totally. And the Europeans can't fight the war, so they want us to do it. And it's never ending to this. And you could see that the Europeans want NATO to get involved, which is America. Germany has no army to speak of. The Brits have no army to speak of. What they did was they don't have a defense budget. It's tiny. And they're not funding NATO. So the whole thing's falling on the United States. The next hour, I think I want to cover this move that Trump's made. He has really exposed Europe for what it is. It's incredible.
Yeah, John, I just got back.
Okay, Dave. Yeah, I'm talking about next week. Next hour, I want to talk about
NATO.
NATO and what's going on in Europe. I mean,
right.
That whole Trump has exposed the whole thing about European. What is it called? So I got NATO in my mind. The European Union. The European Union. How corrupt it is. How everything they do is covered by the United States. So they don't. None of those countries to speak of have defense budgets that are real. I mean, they have tiny little defense budgets because we're the ones covering for them. Their armies are almost non-existent. They're small because they expect us with our army to back them against Russia. So Trump said no. You know, it costs us like $100 billion a year to defend you. That's what Dave. That's what he told them. And then you have like 5, 8, 10% tariffs on us, and we have 0, 2% tariffs on you. No, that's all coming to an end. So they're screaming and hollering now, Dave. And now their hatred, their disdain for us, is coming to the surface now. Because what can they do? Nothing. They cannot defend themselves against Russia without the United States. They refuse to have their own, like, capable army because they want to rely on us. So Trump said those days are over. And especially Germany. Germany. I don't know what Germany is, Dave. I don't, is Germany a nation anymore? Dave? I mean, what is it? Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, here, John. Yeah, they're having problems, obviously. And for us to be financing NATO is kind of bizarre. I think the percentage of GDP that the Europeans were spending on their military was like 3%, very, very low.
And the Germans is like not acceptable. Zero. The Germans are like zero. So Trump saying he's going to pull our troops out of Germany and move them to Hungary because the Hungarians are real. They're like us. They see things like we do. And the European Union is trying to, like, crush Hungary. They want to overrun it with the illegal aliens, and they want to tamper with the elections and all. So Trump will take our army. He's seriously talking about it, to take our army out of Germany and put it in Hungary. And that way it'll stop. We'll be there to have Hungary's back against the European Union. This is really, Dave, unraveling. This thing in Europe is unraveling. It's incredible. It's incredible how it's unraveling. What a time to live in. That whole world order that was created after World War II is now literally before our eyes right now unraveling in Europe. It's unraveling, coming apart. You know, we have stood up and told them this nonsense of you abusing us. I mean, you have high tariffs against us. We have to raise up, we have to pay for a huge military because you don't defend yourselves. So they have high tariffs against us and it costs us like $200 billion a year to defend them. You know, whatever the cost is, they want us to like be there to bring our army into Ukraine to fight Russia. Ukraine isn't even a NATO country. So this is the Wild West now, Dave, what's going on in Europe. It's incredible. Marcone has gone insane. Literally, he's lost his mind. He wants to, the French have 60 to 80 nuclear weapons. And he wants to scatter them all across Europe as a shield against Russia, nuclear shield. And they want to keep his jets loaded and ready to go with the nuclear bombs on them in the various airports scattered around Europe. But that's the latest thing he wants to do to protect Europe because he can't trust the United States anymore. He can't trust us anymore. So... And the British have all the nuclear weapons the British have are on their submarines. They have no land-based ones. So that's what's happening in Europe. Right before our very eyes, it's exploding, led by Marcone from France. He's insane there. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, John. That I didn't pick up on. That's very, very crazy, John.
And the Germans, the German president, whoever he is now, literally says he doesn't want anything to do with America. Literally, he said it. Because we won't do what they want us to do. We won't send our army into the Ukraine. We won't send billions and billions, unended billions of dollars into the Ukraine anymore. We're mean now. We're mean, and the Germans don't like us. This is unfolding at the speed of light. It's incredible what's going on in Europe. All right, Dave, give us an update on, I think some interesting things happened during the week, didn't it, with the prophecy?
Yeah, very good, John, yeah. Do you have that picture from Malawi we can show everybody?
No, I never even thought of it till now, Dave.
Okay, can you look it up? Because it's important.
Please talk. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so if you could find that picture from Malawi, it's probably one of the best pictures we've gotten through the years. There's about six or seven people dressed up in their native getup. It's pretty impressive. And they're in a house with mud bricks and a roof that looks like it's about to fall off. But they're all holding the materials that we sent them. And that was Henry Kaduza from Malawi. We sent him a material a while ago. But just in the last 2 weeks, we've had, we sent a little shipment to Congo, Rwanda, Tanzania, and then, like I said, we got the report from Malawi, which is very interesting because through the years, I don't know exactly how long, it's just been Kenya. Occasionally we get, you know, from another country, somebody maybe in Kenya wanted to ship into Sudan. So, John, believe it or not, in the last 2 weeks, we've only gotten $100 in for shipping. So basically the shipping department is closed. So it's very sad. And I spend the majority of my time apologizing to the pastors. When I go on Monday morning to the office, I'll be busy apologizing. We don't have funds for shipping. So if you're listening and you could help us, it would be greatly appreciated. We're missing a very, very big opportunity because every time we send stuff, to Africa primarily, people get saved. It's that simple. So that's the story, John. So is Brother Greg there?
Yeah, hang on, Dave. I have the picture here somewhere.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I got it. The people see it.
It's there's like a brick wall, like a red brick wall, and then like the roof looks like it's about to fall off.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's Henry Caduza, okay? I think he's on the right-hand side, and he's asking me to send him another box, but we can't. So we just need everybody's help for shipping. So that's the story, John. So is Brother Greg there?
I don't know if Brother Greg is here. Let me take a look. Brother Greg is here. Hello, Brother Greg.
Hello. You know, they've been talking a lot about Zelensky, but remember when it first started out, they were that Abramoff woman, was that a girlfriend of Zelensky's, or what's going on with that? Because she is, that's like a heavy duty kind of almost like witchcraft from them.
Oh yes, I remember who you're talking about. Yeah, she's I think a was she Russian? Oh yeah. She was running with Hillary Clinton and the Podestas and all them, and they were disciples of Aleister Crowley. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that. He was running with them. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. So Trump is very smart, and so I think he'll be able to cover it.
Yeah. I mean, Ukraine is just set up by the European Union, NATO, to lead, well, it's really the United States and Russia, to bleed us. They want Russia greatly weakened in the Ukraine, and they want war. They want war, and we would be the one that would be leading this war against Russia. We don't have no. Another European war, World War I. Where did it start? It started with Russia. World War II, Russia and Germany against Poland. You know, now World War III, it's again with Russia and Ukraine, and they, or at least the start of World War III there. That's their plans. These Europeans are, they are really, when I was a kid, and I'm going back now 55 years of that, my grandpa, now he was from Ireland, and he was very, very smart. And he would tell me, now he was a European from Ireland, but he was an American. He said they hate America. He's talking specifically about the French, though. He said they hate America. They want to use us. He said they love America when the Germans are taking over Europe. Then they love us. They love us. He said, but other than that, they don't want anything to do with us.
Yeah. I remember you were talking about that that camp that was over there by your grandfather's.
Camp Siegfried.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, that was the Nazi headquarters. That was the largest Nazi camp outside of Germany. And it was within... definitely within 10 miles of where I live, I grew up. Of course, that I grew up after World War II. But yeah, that was the Nazi camp. It was called Camp Siegfried. They had meetings of 50,000 in that camp. So, folks, so Greg, I mean, that was some pretty important information that I brought out I was thinking of it as I was giving that information out. There was some incredible information there about what's going on in the Middle East. Yeah, Greg?
Yeah, that's definitely. I'm glad that the camp is gone. But you knew the whole thing from the rail car falling off the tracks and all that stuff. And then I guess they did away with it then after that.
No, no, what it's still the Nazis don't how can I explain it? It was a small city that was built in Long Island. There were two lakes there, the North Lake and the South Lake, I think they were called. And it was big acreage around it. And that area wasn't necessarily heavy Nazi sympathizers. It's called Yaphank, Yaphank, New York. A lot of American Indian names there. Yaphank is American. The town that I would call home is Ronkonkoma, New York. It's an Indian name. So they chose it because the railroad came there and the roads are pretty good. And it was so that's why they chose that town. And they built a village there. They got permission. And the streets were named like Adolf Hitler Street, Hermann Göring Street, Goebbels Street.
Wow.
People, I have the maps. I have the map. If you live in that town on Oak Boulevard, the official name is Adolf Hitler Street.
Wow.
Yeah. So as a kid growing up, my grandfather and some of his friends, they would talk about it. I hear, and not all the time, but they would talk about it. So I heard, and I knew the Nazis were really bad. And I'm probably about 6 or 7, 8 years old. And I couldn't, in my mind, I couldn't, Camp Siegfried was still in existence. I didn't know it ended, you know, that it wasn't a Nazi camp anymore. And I heard there was little kids there, like my age, dressed up as Nazis. And that had me like, wow. So one day, on Christmas, I had gotten a set of electric trains, I remember. And they didn't run right. There was something wrong with the engine. It didn't run. So my grandfather went into the Yellow Pages there. And he was looking, he was telling me, he said, we'll get this fixed for you. And he found it, the place that, so he called him up and he said, you know, do you fix electric trains? And I was standing there right next to him. And he said, okay, what's your address? And I heard, Yaphank. And I knew that that's where Camp Siegfried was.
Oh.
So my grandpa, like, I think it was Saturday morning, he took me to this place, and I was, like, all excited. I wanted to see Nazi kids I wanted to see kids like me dressed up as Nazis. So, and it wasn't too far of a ride, but I kept on asking him, Grandpa, are we in Yaphank yet? No, I'll tell you. Grandpa, are we in Yaphank yet? No, I'll tell you. So finally he says to me, okay, we're in Yaphank. So I slouched down so only my eyes were above the window. And I'm looking out and I'm looking and looking. And we stopped. And he said, okay, this is where we're going to get the train fixed. I opened the door and I ran around. When I opened the door, I ran around to his side. And I like clung to his leg. And I'm looking all around for the Nazis.
Oh.
Greg, I remember that like it was yesterday. Like I can remember it like it was yesterday. And then somehow, I don't know if it was at that time or a time later, I brought it up and I explained my thinking. And they said to me, no, it's whoever it was probably Grandpa. He said, no, that there is Camp Siegfried's all gone. That ended. There's no Nazis anywhere anymore. They're all gone. It's all over. And I got a big relief from that because I thought that Nazi camp was still there.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't, there we got me, you got me talking about Camp Siegfried. Now I have a lot of information. I mean, a ton of information, folks, on what's going on in Europe now in Ukraine. And not only that, I mean, is China, the Chinese are incredibly aggressive now. It's incredible what they're doing. Brother Greg, did you hear that the Chinese Navy, without saying a word to Australia or New Zealand, they had military movement right off their coast. They had live fire. They were firing artillery rounds and all right off the coast of Australia, and then they went off to the coast of New Zealand.
Huh.
Yeah, live maneuvers they were doing right off the coast. It's in your face. I mean, and now the Chinese are building special bases across from Japan, the part of China that's right across from Japan. And what they're doing is they're going to load that up with missiles so that they can mass fire missiles directly into Japan. So Japan's losing its mind over this, and they have, like, they really exploded their military budget, and apparently they have superb electronics and missiles, and they are threatening Japan. Japan is mentioning to China that if China doesn't stop it, they're going, in 6 months, they can have a whole nuclear program in you know, ready to go against China. So things are, I mean, India is in touch with Israel about missiles and defenses all against China. Apparently, Vietnam is the same thing. I think Vietnam has been in contact with Israel for weapons, high-tech weapons against China. The Philippines, it's the same thing with the Philippines. China's aggressive in the... China claims, you know, like 3 miles off the coast of the Philippines, it belongs to them. Belongs to them. So they are super aggressive now, Chinese. Very aggressive. Which is a real bad sign, folks, that they're feeling their muscles and they don't care. They're doing whatever they want. No foreign, not following, you know, laws of the sea and all of that. Not following any of it. It's a bad, bad. They're like rogue now. Out in the open, rogue, the Chinese.
Huh.
So we've put a 10% tariff on top of Chinese tariff already. So it's about a 20% tariff we have on China. And the reason Trump is doing it is the Chinese are facilitating. What they're doing is they've been working with the drug cartels from Mexico, the Chinese government. No one operates in China without the government. You know, this is nonsense. So what they're doing is they're providing all the raw chemicals for fentanyl, and then they're dropping it off to the cartels, and then the cartels bag it up and whatever they do and distribute it. So that's the way it works. China is the supplier. And the cartels are the distributors of this. They're literally working hand in hand. So Trump told China to stop it, that it's killing 100,000 Americans a year, the fentanyl, and that to stop supplying Mexico. Well, China won't stop. So Trump said, all right, we're putting 10% tariff on you to try and hope to break them financially, that they'll be forced to stop supplying the drug cartels. How's that, Greg?
Well, it sounds great on paper, and if they can hold on to it and get it done, I think Trump's about the best shot out of And so I think he'll figure out something.
Well, what's happened is, see, he's closed the border off. And we've got the United I got to back up and tell you more. The the federal government has identified there's five drug cartels in Mexico, that these drug cartels are terrorist organizations. So with that, because they're terrorist organizations and they operate in Mexico, but they also operate in America, the American military can be engaged against them. So right now the border has been really sealed because the military is there. The American military is on the border. And then like Texas, they federalized the Texas National Guard. And by federalizing it, they have, they're deputized as like border patrol now. They can work with the military and the border patrol. I don't know if, Arizona, I don't think did it, and neither did California definitely wouldn't do it. But anyways, the border is like 97% sealed now. And they're rebuilding.
Wow, that's crazy.
They're extending the border walls. So the cartels cannot operate now like they were. It's all shut down. There's no human trafficking. There's no smuggling. It's all shut down. So what I've been reading, and I have no reason to doubt it, the reports coming back, is the cartels are frantic. They're frantic. And they are really concerned about entering into an engagement with the American Army. Because if they enter into an engagement with the American Army, let's say that there's a border battle and there's a shootout there and we have a real confrontation with the drug cartels, the Army is going to follow them right into Mexico. Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, said so. He said, the border doesn't stop us. This is a terrorist organization that's at war with the United States. So the United States satellites, our satellites and our spy planes and all, they have identified all these locations where the terrorists are. They've been spying, you know, electronic spying and all of that. So apparently we're ready to go. If the cartels break loose, the American government is ready to attack Mexico. That's as intense as you can get, Brother Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of the same old, they've just changed the copy on whatever they're selling down there. You know, like it used to be drugs and then it was, Sinaloa was very hard on them. And then, now we've got this fentanyl stuff that just kills them. I mean, it's just lunacy.
Yes, but this is the first time that a president, because Joe Biden was behind them. How could he not? The Democrats and corrupt Republicans were making billions of dollars from these drug cartels. And then all the money that they were washing through the Ukraine. I mean, they must be the richest people. They all must be billionaires, Greg.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all come to an end now. And he's got America ready to go. And these drug cartels and the Mexican government doesn't know what to do now. You know, because they have absolutely no army to stand against us. None. So if we end up in a shootout with the drug cartels and we invade Mexico, I mean, that's it. Then what are they going to do? They've got a terrorist, they're a terrorist state.
I used to pass out a lot of gospel tracts down in Mexico, Mexico itself, right from the border, you know. And then we would have to leave somebody with the vehicle, and then we'd go out and pass out all the tracts. And very rarely would they ever put down a track. They loved seeing the Mexican people.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
I just happened to speak the two languages, so they really enjoyed it then, you know.
Now, when was that, Greg?
That was back, wow, I would say 20 years ago.
Okay.
But they were really very nice people down there. I mean, you couldn't ask for better people.
Well, I want to bring you up to date here on, because there's so much information, folks. There's no way I can get to it all. But it's my blog titled Wars and Rumors of Wars. You know, I have a series of blogs, and it's loaded with what's going on with Europe, folks. Absolutely loaded with it. This is all like in the last kind of 2 weeks, but especially last week. Well, I'll tell you what broke it open was when Vice President Vance gave that speech in Germany, and it stunned them about, you're not along for the ride anymore with America and what you're doing. You're tampering with elections in Europe. You're trampling on the rights, freedom of speech of people. And that, since that was probably about 2 weeks ago now, no more than 3 weeks, that really stunned Europe. But every word that Pence spoke was the truth. He said, look, it's over dealing with America like you've been dealing with America. Those days are all over now. And you're acting like totalitarians. You're overthrowing elections. And you're putting people, He specifically mentioned pro-life people, in jail.
Yeah.
So anyways, folks, please go to these websites, mct911.com. And that'll take you to the blog, and you'd have to find, there's different blogs there. So this one here is, the European Union leadership is now a global threat. And it is. They're like Macron in particular. Well, the British and the Germans, they are all like insane. Seriously. They've lost their minds. They can't operate. They want war against the Russians, but they can't do it without us. And we're telling them we're not with you in your war. Marcon wants to spread nuclear weapons all over Europe as a shield against Russia. The British saying that they want to send their army into the Ukraine. They don't have an army. I mean, their army would last, you know, a week or two against the Russians. They don't have an army. The Germans don't have an army. The French have somewhat of an army. So they're desperate. They don't know what to do. They've been stripped away. Their covering has been stripped away, and there they are. They cannot do anything without us. Now, this is another article that's really incredible. And it says European warmongers lack troops, air defense, ammunition, are only equipped to fight for a few weeks. Rearming these nations will take years. Rearming these nations will take years. So let me share what this article says. U.S. President Donald Trump has disrupted the old geopolitical arrangements, favoring peace and prosperity over the forever wars of the globalist warmongers. Now, Europe is eyeing a future in which the continent has to pay for its own defense. And they are panicking because Europe is vulnerable and everyone knows it. Think of that. They can't, Uncle Sap. And,
whoa.
You know, lacking now listen to this, lacking troops, air defenses, and ammunition, the continent's frontline defenses are only equipped. Are only equipped to repel an invasion from Russia for weeks at best. Without U.S. without the U.S., according to defense officials, who asked not to be identified, discussing sensitive information. Even if a complete American withdrawal is seen as an extremely unlikely, a reduced U.S. presence could also have a severe impact. Europe depends on the U.S. for communications, intelligence, logistics, not to mention raw firepower. The continent foolishly disarmed after the Cold War, while electing a generation of leaders constantly fanning the flames of confrontation with Russia, escalating the situation nonstop. As the U.S. opts for peace, the globalists have responded with a show of solidarity to Ukraine's failed regime and a massive wave of cash, both to Kiev's war effort and to their own rapid rearmament. The U.K. plans to take away money from foreign aid to use for its military, while the Germans are scrapping constitutional borrowing restrictions to spend like there's no tomorrow. We see that the European Union is now very actively discussing the topic of militarization of the European Union. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters on Friday, all of this militarization is happening mainly against Russia, which of course could potentially be a subject of deep concern for us and require appropriate countermeasures to ensure our security. So there you go, Dave. Europe cannot defend itself. Greg, Europe cannot defend itself. It needs us, and we're not going along with their agenda anymore. We're not going along with all the armament and all of that anymore. So what do they do now, Greg? You know, they are, they've been shown for what they are. And I'm so glad President Trump is doing this. This is like, they were just using us and provoking Russia. Here's what happened in this. This is the gospel truth now. Back in 1994, a deal was cut for Ukraine to become an independent nation, and the Russians would come and take all the nuclear weapons out of Ukraine. For the Soviet Union, Ukraine was loaded with nuclear weapons. There was an agreement made that the Ukraine would not join NATO, and NATO would remain, status quo. NATO would not expand eastward towards Russia. So what did they do? NATO expanded eastward right away. Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, I think Hungary. There was like 10 countries. I named 7. And each country brought NATO closer to the border with Russia. But when you say NATO closer to the border, 90% of NATO is America. So the Russians were getting nervous, saying, you promised us not to move east, and you've done it. You know, why are you doing this? I mean, if you're Russia and you're looking at this, you're thinking, why is NATO moving hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles closer to us? Why do that? You know, we're not at war with each other. So it made the Russians nervous. So what happened was this Zelensky was talking about Ukraine joining NATO. He wanted to, and then Finland joined NATO and Sweden joined NATO. That happened right at that time. So Putin is saying, look, give us assurance that the Ukraine will not join NATO. And Joe Biden told Putin, the Ukraine is an independent country. It can do what it wants. That was the trigger for Putin to attack Ukraine. That's the reason he attacked it, was he believed it was going to become a NATO nation. And I'm not in favor of Putin. He's a bad guy. But Zelensky and these NATO people and the European Union, they're bad guys. Joe Biden is a very bad guy. He has done much more damage to America, to us, to the American people, than Putin could ever think of doing. Joe Biden is a disaster, an American hater. If he was younger, he should be tried for treason. And the generals that were around him, like Milley, they should all be tried for treason. So it's a mess, folks. I mean, it is an incredible mess. And in the middle of it, a miracle, Trump, the Lord works so that Trump's elected. And now he's unraveling this whole thing. We're seeing the whole thing. What we knew was happening, now it's being revealed. And these Europeans want war, folks. They're warmongers. They want war. And Trump won't go along with it. He said, we're having peace. And now they're seething. They don't know what to do. They don't have the firepower to do it. So we'll see where this plays out. But it had to come sooner or later. If Biden was president, you wouldn't see this. He would go along. He'd be one of them for war and keeping it going to try and continue to bleed Russia and the Ukraine in it. So if he was elected, or Harris, we wouldn't have seen this. But as soon as someone like Trump came in, and he's got integrity, and he's America first, and he wants to stop this bleeding of our finances and bleeding of Ukraine and Russia, because they want that war. The Europeans, they want it. So, Greg, this is monumental. I mean, God, there's so many things God's doing with Trump in there. He's doing it with the Europeans. You know, he's doing it with Russia. He's doing it with Israel. You know, he's standing up to China. He's dealing with this incredible, terrible tariff situation with these countries of the world. I mean, we have like hundreds of billions of dollars against us in tariffs. The Canadians, they have no tariffs. We have no tariffs on their goods. Greg, some of their tariffs are 200% against our goods. 200%. So Trump wants it evened out. And he also wants them to defend their border against terrorists and the drug cartels. So Canada just recognized the drug cartels in Mexico. It was like last week. They finally recognized that they'll get in the international fight against the drug cartels. Incredible things are happening, folks. I mean, you're literally looking at the demise, the world order that was created in 1945, 46 there, 47. You're looking at the demise of it. It's falling apart. It's dissolving right now before our very eyes, Brother Greg. Incredible. These are huge things happening. Huge.
Wow.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You mightn't believe this is true, what I'm going to say. Here's the headline. Europe spent more on Russian fuel in 2024 than Ukraine aid. They paid more to the Russians for their fuel than they paid into defending the Ukraine. That's all for us to do, not for them. Greg, they're at war. Putin is a monster, Hitler, and all of this. And they're paying him more money for fuel for Europe than they are to defend Ukraine against him. How do you?
Wasn't there a pipeline that got wrecked or something?
Yes. The Europeans are a pack of gutless cowards. That's me writing. They talk a big game against Russia while at the same time get huge amounts of oil from Putin. Oh, my goodness. They want us to carry on the war while they don't pay their fair share of the war. They want America to fight their battle for them. President Trump has exposed they all for what they are. So they are getting the fuel from Russia. They're paying Russia more. They're supposed to be at, like, they want to be at war with Russia. We want to be at war with Russia. And they're paying Russia more for their fuel than they are Ukraine in their war against Russia. Mm. I mean, incredible. Incredible. All right. I have absolutely article after article after article. Oh, they are investigating the generals for the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Hegseth has tapped investigators for botched Afghan withdrawal. Accountability will be coming. Emmanuel calls emergency meeting in Europe, European leaders to discuss Trump. U.S. spy planes hunt for intel on Mexican drug cartels as surveillance flights surge. Taiwan mobilizes air, sea, and land forces as China launches surprise live fire invasion, invasion drill. They did the same thing to Australia and to New Zealand. Beijing's underground command center signals preparation for conflict. And then Trump kicks Zelensky out of the White House. I think we've all seen that. Okay. China says it's war. It's ready for war with America. So those are information you may want to read there, because I don't have time here. And some of the headlines, this is the headline now, critically important information. And this is long, folks. I must have 30 articles. I mean, it was just one after the other coming up, and for me, I want to discuss with you and share with you. But there's so many. I'm just going to read the headlines. Trump to issue executive order to abolish Department of Education. Praise the Lord. That thing, they have to shoot it like it's got rabies. Put it out of its misery. That is hellish. All they were using it for was to indoctrinate our kids into the woke movement and DEI and all of that. Americans can no longer tolerate European entitlements. That's another article I have here. This is very interesting, Greg. It says, Vatican says Ramadan is a school of inner transformation for Catholics. Wow. So the Catholic Church now, from the Pope, is trying to merge Catholicism with Islam. Vatican says Ramadan is a school of inner transformation for Catholics. This is a tremendous video, and I don't have time to show it to you. Trump said it out loud. The left can't handle it. It's by Victor Hansen. He's a tremendous, like, philosopher. So I'm looking at his videos, and I'd like to post a couple of them for you to follow. But it's excellent. I highly recommend. It's only 8 minutes. Tulsi Gabbard confirms Biden let known terrorists loose in the United States. This is mind-boggling. 4,000 terrorists will let go. Known terrorists. They use the ISIS-linked networks to illegally enter the U.S. Of that crowd, about 100 were arrested. So, see, they hate America. It's so. I think we can really grasp it now, Greg. You know, when we see the horrors. It's hard to believe that your own country would allow known terrorists to come in. For what reason? Well, they're terrorists. It's incredible. Education Department opens portal to report school discrimination. So any school in America now that is subject to woke, the kids are subject to woke, or DEI, any of the homosexual LGBTQ stuff. It's to be reported. And Trump has set up investigators. And the schools that are promoting it are going to lose their funding.
Huh.
So it's
good
a way,
deal.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. Fight to restore traditional marriage one step closer to Supreme Court. And there's cases going on against that Supreme Court decision that it had to be handled by the states, not the federal Supreme Court, just like abortion. So it's very possible that that case will be overturned that legalized homosexuality as a marriage. And we've been praying for that for quite a while, folks. So there's movement on this. Woman permanently injured by male in volleyball game, now accused of bullying. There's a video on this where this woman, well, she's a woman now, but she was in high school a couple of years ago, where you had this transgendered man thinks he's a man's passing himself off as a woman, hit the ball so hard that it hit her in the head and gave her a brain injury, brain bleed, and she's including partial paralysis, peripheral vision on her right side, ongoing memory loss, confusion, loss of balance, and severe headaches. This all happened to this high school girl by some man or young man on the other side, hit the ball so hard in volleyball that did all that damage to her. So she's in a college now, and she goes into the ladies' room in the college, and there's a man in there, and he says he's transgendered. So she tells him to get out. And she videos him and gets him out. So the school supported him against her, and she's now accused of bullying this man who's in the ladies' room. Oh, this is crazy, crazy stuff, folks.
Where was that?
North Carolina, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
Delta Zeta. Expelled that's the woman's sorority. Expelled McNabb despite overwhelming support from a local sorority chapter and despite her sincere held religious belief that men and women are women. What a radical. She's a radical, Brother Greg. This happened after McNabb, a talented volleyball player, was severely injured at 17 when a man who identified as a woman spiked a kill shot directly into McNabb's face, leaving her unconscious. She suffered a concussion, two black eyes, traumatic brain injury, a brain bleed, symptoms including partial paralysis, a loss of peripheral vision on her right side, ongoing memory loss, confusion, loss of balance, and severe headaches. Could it be any worse than that? Could it possibly, except the killer? The injury ended her dreams of playing college sports, but she found her college home community in Delta Zeta. I guess that's a sorority. In the expulsion, Delta Zeta showed no tolerance of McTabb's views, and the leadership did not stand up for her sister for basic biology, ensuring a man's personal subjective feelings would prevail. It was a school in North Carolina someplace, Brother Greg.
That is sick. Wow.
Oh, they made this, Greg, they made this parody where congressmen wear barcodes so lobbyists can self-check out. So the congressmen come online and they got a barcode, I think, on their forehead. And then the congressmen are adding up how much the lobbyists are adding up how much the congressman has to wash money through them. So it'll be okay. Your $3,600,000 and they have a scanner that scans the barcode. And they say, next, Congressman, come here. I was laughing hysterical watching this.
Wow.
Let me see here. Let me see if I can get it up so you could. All right.
In a move toward government efficiency, representatives in Congress passed a bill today calling for the mandatory printing of barcodes on their foreheads so that lobbyists can quickly scan their prices and self-checkout. The new system is intended to streamline the current process, making it easier to buy a congressman than ever before. The House voted to pass the bipartisan bill almost unanimously. It now goes to the Senate, where it is expected to pass with similar enthusiasm. According to the text of the bill, self-checkout machines will be installed at all Capitol exits to expedite the quick checkout of elected officials. Lobbyists will no longer have to deal with staffers and secretaries to get what they want. They can go directly to the politician of their choice. Let's go live now to D.C.
Thanks, Tom. This right here is the new self-checkout machine where lobbyists are happily purchasing congresspeople without having to deal with a pesky store clerk or making small talk with a congressional aide. Pardon me. Are you enjoying the new self-checkout system?
Oh, yeah, this is great. I had to swing by the Capitol this morning to pick up a few congresspeople, and this just saved me so much time.
Unexpected congressman in bagging area. Unexpected congressman in bagging area.
Well, it looks like there's still a few bugs to work out. But it seems this technology is a way forward for morally bankrupt, bloodthirsty lobbyists manipulating our representatives for their personal gain. Back to you, Tom.
On the line now, we have the sole congressman who voted against the bill, Representative Thomas Massey. Congressman, why are you so opposed to more efficiency in allowing your fellow congresspeople to prostitute themselves out for a little extra cheddar?
Well, I don't think lobbyists should be allowed to buy congressmen.
I'm sorry. There seems to be some connection issue. We can't hear what you're saying.
No, I think.
All right. Greg, it's so funny. I mean, but there's such truth to it.
Wow.
Yeah, this was hilarious. Well, looks like we're out of time. Here, let me look to see. Trump is going to make English the official language of the United States. Great communion revival, massive event with 2 miles of tables from Capitol to Lincoln Memorial. They're planning a huge, huge communion, outdoor communion, the biggest in world history. October of 2025 in Washington. Washington State launches bully investigation at the teen girl who refused to play against trans opponent. AG Bondi tells FBI Director Patel that rogue New York FBI office is withholding Epstein files. An RFK Jr. running mate there. If you remember, he ran briefly for president. Nicole Shanahan. Today I'm a Jew for Jesus. She converted.
All right.
To the Lord. Pentagon removing DEI material from official online content. Watch Donald Trump's first cabinet meeting begins in prayer. That was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Revival sweeps college campuses across the nation. Veterans Affairs hospital chaplain allegedly sanctioned over sermon, fights back with defense of free speech. He preached on Romans chapter 1. All right. Greg, it goes on and on and on. This is, incredible. So if you would close us, we're running a little late. If you would close us with a word of exhortation, please.
If you never went to you prayed to become a born-again Christian, it's very simple. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner, see Romans 3:10, and believe that Jesus Christ He died on the cross and shed his blood and was born again. And through prayer, invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior. See Romans 10:13. And if you want to pray right now, all you have to do is say, Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and for my sin, and I'm willing to turn away from this sin, and I may invite Christ into my heart as my personal Savior right now. So if you prayed that and are born again, thank you, Jesus, and hang in there, and you'll find a church or a whatever it is that would hold on to the people there, and it'd be a wonderful open idea to do it, and to do it forever and never ever turn away from it. Amen, John?
Amen. Amen. I think you mentioned Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Folks,
we covered a lot of ground tonight. It's incredible. God, at the very end now, God has moved in an incredible way that is beyond anything. We were happy with a tiny little thing, and he's given us the huge in America. He's opened up. We see Europe, what it is. He's moving to use the United States to protect Israel. It's incredible. He's closed the border down, stopping these fentanyl from coming in. And it's just incredible what God's done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So remember that we are to look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we call the rapture. The blessed hope is we're caught up into the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God bless you. And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow morning for prayer. And then tomorrow evening, Pastor Fred has been attending, doing wonderful teaching. And we have prayer after he finishes. God bless you.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when redeemed again, redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed again, redeemed. Now when the redeemed again, redeemed, washed like snow and free from sin. We will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathered in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed.